the title for Time Certain. We're running 15 minutes late. 718.
We have to switch out people, so it'll be just a moment.
Get there.
I know.
All right. They were in the room at the same time, but for it, no, they're still here. I would like the audience and the four viewers listening to you've just seen Andrew Scott. And now I'd like to introduce you the chair of the Portland Development Commission, Scott Andrews. Their names are the bane of my existence. And I want to
Don't stop there, Mayor.
Yeah, and the council, everybody, but especially because they each get the wrong emails. And so I'm asking budget questions of the chair of the Portland Development Commission, and I reply to the wrong Scott. So one of you is going to have to change your name. So there's two. So welcome to the City Council. We're glad you're here. And Mr. Chair.
We need to convene as
we need to convene as the budget committee.
Oh, sorry,
you're working for us today.
Sorry. Hi. I always ask a question of Carla. So, how was your lunch today?
It was very good. Thank you.
Good. Would you please call the roll?
Yes. Fish.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Leonard. Fritz.
Here.
Adams.
Here. We are now convened as the Portland Development Commission Budget Committee. Mr.
Great.
Chair.
Thank you very much. I'm going to be very brief and turn it over to my two cohorts here to go over the budget itself. As you know, there are two basic sources of revenue that PDC relies upon, TIF and general funds. We're going to start today with a general overview of the total PDC budget, which includes revenues from both sources, and then we're going to go into the general fund requests. That'll be followed by a discussion of the URA funding by district. Funding that's almost all TIF. First, a little bit of feedback on this year's process. At the URA committee level, the district budgets reflects input and concurrence from our citizen advisory committees. The funding which received the most negative feedback was the $10 million for light rail that came out of the North McAdam district. Although URAC members were in favor of the project, they feel that it's not fair that all this comes from North McAdam, given the amount of the rail line that goes through the district. Since all the property taxpayers in the city pay for urban renewal, I, however, think it's quite appropriate for a district to make a significant contribution to a project that benefits the entire city. A little bit of budget overview. We took very seriously the effort to reduce overhead costs and increase efficiency. You'll see in the budget a reduction of nearly 16% in overhead this year, and over the past 2 years, we've reduced both overhead and staff by 20%. Our proposed budget includes total requirements of about $228 million, and total program expenditures are $188 million. This is about a $38 million decrease from the fiscal year 09-10 budget. That decrease is due mostly to the funding for housing that is outside of our control and has been moved over to the Portland Housing Bureau.
If I could just correct one thing, Mr. Chair. It's not exclusively outside of your control, and what I'm pleased to report is that with the launching of the new Portland Housing Bureau, in fact, there's been an enormously high level of collaboration between the two organizations, jointly conferring around all decisions around housing, and we very much appreciate the relationship that has followed.
I appreciated the opportunity and enjoyed working on the Housing Bureau's budget this year. I think it was very helpful for me to be involved, and I look forward to the opportunity again next year.
And could I just clarify? Sorry to interrupt.
Sure.
The housing amount is less than the previous year also because the tax increment revenues are decreasing. Is that correct?
Well, I think it's due to a couple of things. A lot of times it just has to do with the projects that are underway, and we happen to have two major housing projects underway with the RAC and the Pearl District Housing. That's $100 million worth. Next year, we're hoping to get a major project in North McAdam underway, but the expenditures get kind of lumpy based on whether or not we've actually got a project going.
If I could just respond to my colleague that in PHB's budget presentation, we did, as one of the little charts on our one-pager, we did show the five-year trend line, which we worked up with PDC. And you are correct that that over the next 5 years, particularly over the next 3 years, there's a significant decline in resources available for housing, a function of districts which are sunsetting, reaching capacity in certain districts, front-loading of money on particularly this year, and we refer to that as the TIF cliff. And so, in fact, within about 2.5 years, there is almost a two-thirds decline in available TIF resources for housing, which is one of the reasons in the advocacy community there's been renewed interest in looking to find an alternative revenue stream in a couple of years to fill the hole left by what we call the TIF cliff.
Thank you, Commissioner. And also, if housing were still in Portland Development Commission, the total funding is down this year. Is that correct?
The total funding
for the whole of the
total. Yeah, the total funding in PDC is down.
Yes.
Overall.
Yes.
But it's a historically high amount of investment in housing this year. I
mean, exactly.
Making us over about $120 million bureau, which will be a one-time event.
Yeah, it's really complicated. You have to take a look at each one of the urban renewal districts and see where they are in their lifespan and in terms of TIF generation and projects. And so it does get lumpy and a little bit hard to compare 1 year to the next. So one thing I wanted to note was that specific urban renewal area programs that benefit small businesses in this budget total almost $22 million, which is an increase of $5.6 million over last year. And I think that's really important in an economy that we're dealing with at this point. Our business is to provide jobs. Small businesses are the biggest generator of jobs. So to the extent that we can help those people out the most that we can, I think that's beneficial. Finally, you're going to notice that in many of our urban renewals areas, private construction is very, very slow. We expect it to remain that way until at least 2012, if not 2013. However, as I already mentioned, we do have a number of cranes in the air. We've got about $100 million of construction underway that PDC got started, including the RAC, the Pearl Family Housing, East Side Streetcar construction, and the Burnside Cooch Couplet on the east side. We're also actively cleaning up property in Gateway. That'll be the home of a 3-acre plaza for that community in East Portland in the coming years. With that, I'm going to hand it over to Bruce, who will start the overall.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, Mayor Adams, members of the council. Apologize, I think we're trying to get the presentation we just handed out to you up on a screen so you can see it a little more easily. But I want to remind you, I did hand you the proposed budget document as required by state law, and Commissioner Fish has already giving me a bad time about the size of the document and the amount of paper that was used. But this is a complete compendium of all of the information that we put together. And so I'm going to be brief, but you can read my entire budget message in here if you would like in terms of setting the stage for the budget. But I'll just touch on some of the highlights, okay? So moving on, as the chair said, our budget about jobs and sustainability, economic opportunity, and equity. And I think you folks, say that it's really about the triple bottom line of people, the planet, and the profit. And I want to make clear that our budget development is guided by your economic development strategy, which our board has also adopted, which first is put together to help small businesses and neighborhoods. Secondly, it's to improve the business climate for entrepreneurs. And lastly, to create jobs by helping existing businesses remain strong and grow. And then by recruiting other businesses and industries into our four priority clusters, which are been identified in the economic development strategy, which includes activeware, software, clean technology, which means solar power, wind power, photovoltaic, as well as green buildings, and advanced manufacturing. Just to remind you of those. So I guess you have this up on your screens now. So if you go to if you look at this slide, which is also on page 3. The chair did mention there is almost a 20% reduction in the cost to operate the organization that you see before you here. And as you heard, the trend for reduced revenues is going to be with us for at least the next 3 to 4 years. And so understanding what this has meant to show you is that we have been making corresponding changes to our operational costs as we move forward, specifically in personnel and non-project related materials and services reductions to really match those resources. If you look at the reductions that are shown in the various areas, I want you to put in mind that last year we eliminated about 14 full-time equivalent positions. This year, in this budget, we've removed about 18 full-time equivalent positions, as well as eliminating all of the temporary assistance and monies for temporary help. And I want to stress these reductions were difficult and painful at times, but they were the right thing to do to get us to a point where we have a sustainable budget. So if you look at this budget, I just want to point out that in the personal services line item, you'll see that our numbers have gone from $22.5 million in the current fiscal year down to the recommended budget of $19.4, which is about a $3.12 million reduction. Materials and services is down $1.7 million. And I want you to understand that $1.7 million figure there reduction, $1 million of that is as a result of the renegotiated lease and the decision our board made last week to remain in the Mason Ehrman building in Old Town Chinatown. We actually have front-loaded savings of $1 million in the next fiscal year, which are part of that savings, which is very significant and also helps us in the long run as we have our glide path down to a sustainable budget. You see the housing transition cost because that'll occur this year. There won't be any in the next fiscal year. And it just shows you about a 17% reduction in our overall cost of operations. And as you can see in the very bottom, if you compare it to our direct project expenditures, this is our tax increment financing dollars and federal and other dollars that go through our budget, you can see that our overall percentage of cost of operation to delivery of projects is about 19% when you look at it in terms of direct project expenditures, and it goes down to about 16% when you compare it with all of the expenditures for the agency. So we're quite pleased with the reductions we've made there. There are some caveats I could give you in terms of what's included and not in that, but if you want to get into that detail, we can do that. So I would say you ought to turn the page or go to the slide 4, which is, as the chair mentioned, this really is a snapshot of our 11 urban renewal areas. It's $142 million worth of expenditure of tax increment financing for the most part in these districts proposed for next year. We've broken it into the various categories. You can see business and industry, housing. As you can see, the housing numbers for tax increment finance are still very high, but there is a reduction. Infrastructure, you can see the numbers reduced, but that's really because a lot of the money is going out for projects like the Burnside Cooch couplet, the streetcar on the east side this year. So this is just a cash flow issue. Revitalization, I want to stress those numbers are down because we're putting money in other categories, mainly business assistance. But this is also a reflection of a number of projects continue to be deferred because private financing is not out there to really move some of the key public-private partnerships forward. And then I just noted the administration item, which just is the dollars that were set aside to complete some of our ongoing efforts to look at the creation of a new urban renewal area or expansions of existing urban renewal areas that I'll touch on in just a moment. So maybe we can go to the next slide. I did mention this in my budget message. I think it's important for the City Council to understand, as our budget committee, that we are continuing to work on the Northeast Portland Economic Opportunity Initiative, which is looking at changes that could be made to the interstate urban renewal area. The committee involved in this made decisions last night, recommendations to our board to amend the interstate urban renewal area to move forward into St. John's, include the entire Martin Luther King area, and some of the stems that go off of that to address economic opportunity in those areas. And that will come back to you late 2010 or early next year for consideration. You also know we're looking at a new central city urban renewal area on the west side of the Willamette River here in downtown Portland. And then finally, as part of this budget, we also have money set aside to actually start the work to look at a new east side urban renewal area or expansions of existing urban renewal areas on the east side. So that's the general overview of the budget. What I thought we ought to do is, with that, unless you have some questions of me right now, is jump right in to the general fund allocation and the recommendations that we have here, which have been incorporated into the budget you have before you today. So it's all right, Mr. Mayor. I just turn it over to Keith to start going through the general fund and the urban renewal area by urban renewal area specific budgets.
Okay, and in this slide, I'm not going to go line by line and column by column. I think what's important to look at is that, like many of the other bureaus and other entities, we've taken a pretty significant cut this year in one time for economic development. As you know, we talk about it a lot, that we can't use tax increment for a lot of these efforts, and so we rely on the investment from the city in order to move forward this part of our agenda. And what we're going to be focusing on over the next year is continuing the momentum we have with the Main Street program. And I'm going to move fast on this, but obviously if you have questions, just interrupt me. We're going to be continuing to focus on some of the work we've done over the last year, which is developing a seed fund. It's basically taking some very small companies and getting them small amounts of money to help them get kind of on that food chain towards eventually angel, venture capital, those kinds of things. So we're looking at $20,000 loans to companies that we think, and some of the experts we're working with, think have a chance to succeed that play into our industry clusters. We have the business services website that was created this year. We've gotten about 1,500 visits so far since February. And what that is, a lot of businesses have never really had a one-stop online to go to answer all their questions. And this is something that we developed under the leadership of the mayor to try and find that way you could get an alignment of many of the service providers of PDC and city bureaus all on one page so people can navigate and figure it out.
Do we have a copy of the draft spreadsheet just for council to look at, Kate?
Yes, we can have that later today. I have it,
okay,
but not here.
I just want to underscore that Kate Dean is leading the project within PDC, and I've long wanted to do this. We are identifying everyone. For-profit, nonprofit, academia, government, whose mission includes assistance to business and learning exactly what they do, and to try to weave all these threads together into something that is, we get the benefit of the sum of the whole, as opposed to right now, it is incredibly siloed. Some great programs, but they're overly siloed from one another. So it's a... We'll be coming back to council and the Portland Development Commission for how this money helps to pull that all together. The research, though, is underway.
And in terms of the cluster industry research and development and the cluster industry initiatives, just so you understand what that is, as we said, we have some real strengths here in Portland. ActiveWare is one where you have companies like Keen who decide they want to move to Portland, both because of the lifestyle people live as well as the lifestyle they want their employees to live. There's other niches like the wind power, where we're fortunate to have both Iberdrola and Vestas. One kind of builds wind farms, another builds turbines. And what we've found is that these industries, while they're successful and the companies are successful, how you knit them all together and get them to work together and learn about mutual opportunities to grow and to expand is a role the PDC needs to play a significant partner in. And so that's a lot of the work that we've been doing. And just two examples, and I'm kind of washing over into the next slide, so I'll move the other slide faster along. But trying to do things like creating a design center that can be used by a ActiveWare-type company so that, the next innovation or iteration of Gore-Tex is done in Portland and companies want to come here. If we want to try and link up some of the fabricators that in the advanced manufacturing and link them in with wind turbine manufacturers to take some, one of the old industries in Portland and link it with a new industry, again, to try and provide them opportunities to expand. A lot of this work goes on in these areas. That's essentially, right now I just wanted to focus on the one-time dollars, and that is kind of the preponderance of the one-time dollars. I'm going to move to the next slide.
Before you move on the next slides, I'm looking at the one-time money of $100,000, and that wasn't the number that I remembered in the mayor's reconciled proposal.
So in the reconciled proposal, it was $166,000 for both of those. This is 40,000 about, and it's because there was, I think, OMF factored in a 4% or some very small percent cut that came out of the top line. So this 166, just pretend it says that, reflects what's in the mayor's recalibrated budget.
And my understanding is in the mayor's proposed, it was, there was another 200,000.
It was, yeah, it was around 366.
So was that, is that being cut from ongoing?
No, one time.
No, one time.
That helped to make up, along with the cuts to
housing
and everything else, the what we learned was shortfalls in the police bureau's budget.
Right. So what would we not, what actually do you do with that money in the cluster? That one-time money, what does it buy?
We, from the economic development strategy, we've gone in and basically done cluster development strategies within each, including prioritizing among the almost infinite array of activities, entrepreneurial opportunities, let's say in clean technology, what exactly are we going to focus on and who are our partners in the private sector to do that, and how can we have, for example, among the clean tech smaller cluster, you know, what are their workforce needs and how can we tailor those workforce needs to academic programs at PCC. So we play the role of strategy, market research, and then partnering to make sure that we're getting businesses or getting industries what they need.
Which seemed, I really liked going from the 13 previous target industries to the 4 clusters. I thought that was a brilliant strategy, and then I greatly appreciate this approach. With less funding, would you just thin the soup across all of them, or how? What would you do?
We're still figuring that out, but we don't want to. But every area of service area, the city had to make a contribution by further cuts in the recalibrated budget. Almost every area.
Yeah.
So
right.
The cluster went from, could you run that by me again? It went from what to what?
Yeah, we had, you know, over the last few years, I mean, we had, the state identifies target industries. And is that what you're talking about?
No, I just mean from.
You mean the dollar amount?
$200,000.
Proposed budget of a week ago versus the recalibrated budget.
$200,000 less.
Yes.
$200,000 less for cluster industry initiatives.
And $22,000 less for?
Or the target recruitment.
Targeted recruitment. And those savings were used to fill the police bureau gap and also gaps that allow for the fire bureau and the parks bureau to manage their cuts over 3 years instead of 2 years. And restoration of the PAL and a few other small things.
The next slide. On this one, this is just a quick highlight of the deliverables we see occurring in 2010-11 with the Economic Opportunity Initiative. Again, it serves through a number of different service providers, adult and youth.
Will you move on from that one? How much is left in Economic Opportunity Initiative in the ongoing PDC budget?
There is from the $1.4 million in ongoing. In the general fund.
Because I'm getting lots of constituent letters telling me their stories of how great that is, so I'm glad to see that we still have $1.4 million for that.
Yeah.
Well, it does. There's two reasons why funding is lower. One, it takes a haircut for now being part of and getting services from PDC, although they're giving it a lower overhead charge than other functions within PDC because of the important work they do and the difficulty in the environment, especially for micro businesses. And then they were also using, as I understand, one-time resources that ran out. And so I just want to make sure that this is a $300,000, is that right? A $300,000 haircut to that particular line item. But at one point, it could have been as bad as $1 million. So they worked very hard to bring it way down.
And was that program previously in housing?
Correct.
Yeah, it was in BHCD. Mm-hmm. With the target industry work, I talked briefly about the design center. We also just did a survey of, I think it was like 270 software companies, finding out what their needs are in Portland, and what we'll be doing over the next year is developing an action agenda for them, as well as the other things that I've referenced. Seed fund, the $200,000 item. Again, we could probably help 8 to 10 companies get up off the ground, and the other good thing about it leverages up to 3 to 1 in private dollars. The supply chain, I already referred to that in terms of connecting, for example, the advanced manufacturers to wind turbine.
One exciting another exciting project that Patrick and Aaron and Kimberly and the whole group are working on is the Clean Energy Works, the supply chain, the local supply chain. In addition to our community benefits agreement, we also are developing basically a community supply chain strategy, so that as much of the windows and pipes and insulation and all the things that we're going to be using to retrofit local homes and businesses and industry, that they're coming from as much local manufacturing or at least sourcing as we possibly can. So that's an exciting example of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability leading the efforts on Clean Energy Works and Portland Development Commission sort of providing for that, helping to ensure that maximum value by local, buying local.
Right. I'll be referring to where that exists in our budget as we go through the urban renewal areas. The rest of these items are pretty self-explanatory. The Main Street Initiative is a very exciting one where we'll be selecting neighborhoods over the next couple months to get in line to basically work with our staff and other experts to figure out really comprehensive ways to really maximize the potential of their commercial corridors, which is something that isn't being done outside of urban renewal areas right now. The Community Economic Development Roadmap is a very important strategy for us. As you know, we have a new neighborhood division, and that'll essentially be the blueprint for their actions to kind of think about how does PDC move beyond kind of the classic, and we're well beyond it, but how do we move beyond the classic downtown real estate agency into a type of entity that can really make a difference from kind of A to Z in the neighborhoods, working with small businesses, working with the residents, preserving kind of the character and the heritage of those areas as we build them up. And then I mentioned the business services website. So with that, we're going to move on to the urban renewal areas. And I can fly through these things, and I can also just kind of move from urban renewal area to urban renewal area if you have questions. I know we're limited on time. So I'm going to basically speed read this thing and then stop me when you get to one where you have some interest.
If you wouldn't mind, though, for the council's education and also those listening, talk about how we use the bottom-up approach involving the citizen in each of the urban renewal districts to help fund the request to the Portland Sure. Development Commission.
Sure. And we'll start with the first one that actually doesn't have one of those. But the no, in every other one, we basically
Thank you, Keith. Timing was great.
Sure. Yeah, anytime. That was the old PDC. The new one, we just
making
decide
my
things.
Point.
This Keith, is the last of the old PDC. Say, Keith, thank you for your service.
Yes, really.
Yeah.
And if I might further interrupt, I didn't have time to look through the big budget book. So speaking for myself, it would be very helpful to have the time for you going through it sure. to guide me through it. This sure. is super important. So yeah. I don't think we should rush.
Good. Thank you.
We have all day.
We are. That's what we do. That's our job.
I'll
actually, we have a budget hearing tonight, Mayor. So if we could break for dinner,
might,
at least.
We might have to cancel it. Go ahead, Commissioner Fritz.
Focus.
Oh, you
focus.
Want him to leave.
Focus. Okay.
Thank you.
So two things. First of all, just the way we've developed this presentation is you've got obviously the name of the area and then the year that it can't issue any more debt. And then you've got the amount of money for project investments up top. We talk about what we think can get done over the next 12 months and then what's coming in the future. And the chart on the right side is we have an annual report that comes out every year. And we basically measure these things. We say, you know, what's the assessed value per acre in an urban renewal area? How many LEED buildings were built? How much minority construction and contracts were going out? And so what we tried to do on the chart on the right is identify where we think we'll be turning the meter in this urban renewal area over the next 12 months. I'll tell you that since we all know what's going on with the economy right now, and Executive Director Warner and Sherry Andrews talked about it a little bit, in that there's not a lot of private financing going on, so there's not a lot of private projects happening over the next 12 months. And that's reflected in some of the, you know, low, medium, high measurements on the right-hand side. With Airport Way, in this district, we've already reached the credit card max. And that's why you see there's a $1.6 million available for project investments. And what we're essentially doing in this district is selling and leasing land that we own along in Riverside Parkway near Cascade Station, to companies that either want to expand or want to build new buildings. And in this case, we have an example where La Crosse Footwear, and Aaron Flynn was speaking the other day and talking about how that's a company that makes really nice boots. And I believe they moved from kind of the Oregon City, Clackamas area, wanted to be closer to the airport, and we were able to help them find property, build out their facilities, and probably a little bit closer to maybe the distribution area in the airport. But we've also, in our last board meeting on May 12th, the PDC board approved the development of the FBI headquarters on another parcel that we own. We anticipate over the next year or two probably leveraging $20 million in private investment in this district through those kinds of transactions. And that's a very jobs-intensive district, because just by its nature, there's a lot of manufacturing companies. There's probably at least one company in every cluster located in this district. And it's been very successful for us and for the city.
And I would point out also that our board just did take action to approve the development agreement with the developer representing the FBI to move that project to construction. So that'll create a number of construction jobs and also provide some other employment in that area very soon.
Is this in addition to what they have downtown or a replacement?
It's a replacement. I'm going to lose him.
Sorry.
I couldn't vote on this one. But now, given the new federal regulations, they need to be 200 feet from where somebody can park a car. That's pretty tough to do in downtown. So it's been a long time coming.
And is it true that they're actually inside the IKEA store?
I would say probably yes.
You could be 200 feet from where anybody could park inside.
Sweden's a neutral country. Come on. Let's go on to the central east side now. Again, in this district, it's been very successful in terms of construction jobs over the last year, simply because of projects such as the streetcar and the east side of the Burnside Cooch couplet. And in 11, 12, we're basically going to be completing those projects. So over $6 million of the 9.5 is kind of dedicated to those public infrastructure projects, which is one of the main things that's kept the economy going over the last 12 to 18 months. We're continuing to help a number of the small businesses, and you're all familiar with places such as the East Bank Commerce Center, the old B&O warehouse that's now Olympic Mills, where you've got a number of tenants in small spaces. And we've got close to $1 million in loans and grants that we've been able to provide so that those businesses can afford some of the, you know, tenant improvements and other things to be able to locate down there. And there's a really nice kind of commercial community developing, both among newer industry as well as mixing with some of the older industrial industries in the area. Segueing to the Burnside Bridgehead, what we see happening over the next 12 months is basically, I think this is going in and out, it's basically working with the community on a vision for that area. The Convention Plaza is a building that we own. You know, we'd anticipate that will probably continue the trend in the Central East Side of being a place for incubators or small businesses to grow through cheap space. And then we have the vacant land that's near the air, it's kind of bisected by the couplet, that we see as opportunities for new development that can be jump-started either by the public sector, and then the private sector can follow and put uses in that are going to generate more property taxes for the area. And it will probably be, you know, a phased development rather than kind of a brewery blocks out of nowhere. It'll develop in a way and in a character that reflects what's going on in the Central East Side. And then our board will also be taking action next week on putting $2 million towards the Mental Health Crisis Center / the renovation of Hooper, which is, I know, something that's very important to the council and that you're partnering with the county on as well.
Could you remind me on this, generally speaking, what are the properties adjacent to the Esplanade that come over to Parks? I know there's some parking.
Yeah, there's the festival lot. There's the other property. Oh, hang on, I've got it here. I need a sense.
There's another old building, metal building right by OMSI, between OMSI and their garages, that is also a piece of property that we wanted to transfer to Parks sometime. I'm sure that's one of the pieces also.
Here we go. Yeah, the festival parking lots, it's not limited to. The festival parking lots, the fire dock, the light watercraft dock, and then the building that Executive Director Warner is talking about.
We'd be glad to get you a map of those, Commissioner, if you need that.
So moving on to the Convention Center Urban Renewal Area. Again, similar to our downtown districts a couple years ago, this one is going to be at the point where it can't issue any more debt in the next couple years, which is essentially means you need to begin to look at a closeout plan and be very deliberate and careful about what are the final investments you're going to make and what are they going to seed in terms of redevelopment opportunities and job growth opportunities. In this district, again, with the focus on loans to businesses, there's a little bit of over $600,000 that we'll be investing in businesses. There is the completion of a physical gateway that kind of reflects and respects the heritage of Martin Luther King in Northeast Portland that's been talked about for a number of years, and that's going to begin to be put into place in the next year, starting with the PDOT-owned property in the vicinity of Northeast Hancock and MLK. This is the first example of the Clean Energy Works program that the mayor referred to. Will we be putting $200,000 towards that program? Again, the short story is that it allows homeowners to be able to make their homes much more energy efficient through a payback on utility bills. And Patrick Quinton and other people at PDC have done a great job of partnering with a number of other public and private partners in order to get this program federally funded and in place. So, it's homeowners that couldn't afford to spend $1,000 to insulate the ceiling in their house are going to be able to do so now through this program because it can be amortized over such a long period of time in a pretty painless way. In terms of the kind of planning projects, as we talked about, private development isn't, aren't cranes popping up out of the ground every month. We're looking at Block 47 and 49, which is land that's owned by Schlesinger, and we've been working with them for a while. They're going to have a likely extension of a six-month MOU with us to continue to study what could happen on that project. You tie it back to a district that's going to be going away, and we want to try and figure out whether, office, commercial, other kinds of uses are going to work. So we'll be working with them over the course of the year. And then, as you know, an issue that's come to you frequently, and at least a week or two ago, is the goal is to have a memorandum of understanding in place on the vision for Memorial Coliseum by the fall. And then that segues into the broader vision for the Rose Quarter. And so when we come back next year, we'll be talking about, likely larger sums of money going to private development, whether it was the Block 47 and 49 or the Rose Quarter, as well as the other thing that's the other tool that's available to us is being able to access basically this zero coupon bond that will allow us to bring more money. I don't want to complicate this for myself. Bring more money forward into the district to invest in private development. And if we're able to do that through a partner, that could be another $15 to $20 million that would be available.
So I see in the line item for the Rose Quarter revitalization that we've got $60,000 for next year, and then $3 million year the following year, and $2.4 the year after, so a total of $6 million that the city could invest to partner with private development there. Is that the plan?
Yeah, and that was there last year when we came to you, there was $5.4 million in the budget. So basically, it's just kind of keeping that number intact and guesstimating when it would go out. It doesn't reflect we don't know exactly what the redevelopment's going to be and what the public request is, the request of the public sector is going to be. So it's kind of a placeholder number right now.
That's kind of the ballpark of what we're thinking we could.
Yeah, right now in terms of what we can do in terms of capacity.
Okay, and then the line item under that is storefront grants, and I noticed that in the previous URA as well.
Yeah.
Do we have any kind of citywide storefront grant program for places for businesses outside of URAs?
We don't this year. We have had about $500,000 the last 2 years, but with the decrease in the general fund, what we decided to do is try and focus on the main streets and the clusters and the things that we talked about earlier. And then in the hopes of being able to restore the citywide storefronts once the general fund becomes a little more flush next year. That was one of the trade-offs we had to make.
I see. And that wasn't in your budget proposal then? You made that as one of your cuts?
Right. Right. I mean,
the general fund request asked for last year's allocation plus an additional, so equal to last year's allocation. So my proposed had to cut that down significantly.
So is there any in it?
Not citywide, okay. Not non-tax increment. And the judgment call there, a very difficult one, was there aren't a lot of projects being done financed by the private sector. We would love to have the program, but we had to cut somewhere.
Keith, I have a question if I could. With the limited amount of money available in the district, I guess, is it fair to say that it's unlikely that PDC will be able to fund both a Block 47, 49 project and Memorial Coliseum?
That's a loaded question, isn't it? I think that it really depends what the proposals come back at. And if a private party is willing to help us tap into the zero coupon bond, you know, then it expands the opportunities to invest. I mean, literally we don't know right now. I mean, obviously there's some options for the Coliseum that would be more costly than others to the public sector, but it really depends on how it plays out.
We have some money in the Spectator Fund for that, right? For the Memorial Coliseum?
I don't know. The state of the Spectator Fund.
And just going back to Commissioner Fisher's question, where is Block 47 and 49 in this context?
In terms of
the physical location?
Every URA has a Block 49.
Where is it geographically?
Yeah.
It's just to the north of the convention
right,
center.
Right across the street.
So it's on the other side of the MAX, and it's on the north
Burger
side.
King. I call it the Burger King.
Gotcha.
If I could just comment that this is the first year in which we've distributed some money within urban renewal districts for housing, and we did a NOFA, Notice of Funds Availability, and just issued some awards of dollars. Mm-hmm. And one of the projects that we put some additional resources into was the Madrona, which is a spectacular success of what PDC invested in. The building was opened recently. It's a beautiful addition to that area, and we just awarded them some additional Section 8 vouchers to help maintain the affordability in the building and give it some stronger financials going forward. So anyway, kudos on the work that predated us on the Madrona.
And I'd just point out that, the other big line item here is the hotel blocks, which is out at 2011, 2012. Again, they're placeholders. And this is really an example, again, of the citizens in the urban renewal advisories over a period of years prioritizing projects and setting aside money for them. But when you get to this point in a district, you end up having to make some choices about what's real and, what you can get into the ground. So they really are more placeholders than budget items. Another project, if a good project came along that we wanted to fund, we'd have to make some tough choices, but we would make the right ones.
And how would council figure into making a choice like that?
Between reallocation of line items during this process as the Budget Committee for PDC, yes. And depending on the nature of the project and the proposed changes, yes, but not always.
But so if there was a request to change this line item for 11-12, that might come to us, but it might not?
It wouldn't come to us if I'm getting this. It's good if I repeat it. It wouldn't have to come to us. The PDC can make the changes on their own without us. But if there are any entitlements or anything else, any zoning or any other issues, then it obviously would come to us. Those would come to us. Is that accurate?
Yeah. I mean, and if, for example, if the Schlesinger project started to move forward, I'm sure in our monthly briefings with you, we would tell you what the program looked like, what the costs were. There's a thorough vetting of the opportunities and what you would have to give up by taking on that opportunity.
Presumably for something like a headquarters hotel, there would be multi-jurisdictional discussions, so likely
Absolutely.
Would you?
Yes.
Probably
yes.
Would bring it back to us anyway.
Sure.
You will not be surprised, Commissioner.
you'll be involved in the dialogue as we move forward.
Especially the headquarter hotel.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure. Downtown Waterfront. This is a district that
be the side of our west side.
Had to quit using its credit card a couple of years ago. So basically what we're looking at is essentially the final 2 years of investment in the district. And over the next year, so what you're seeing is smaller amounts of money. There's about $250,000 for assistance to businesses. One thing that we're focusing on is trying to put the College of Oriental Medicine, along with some other uses, down on Block 8, which is the old Globe Hotel site, down adjacent to kind of light rail and Davis in that vicinity. Oregon Mountain Community used to be down there years ago as well. And we have about $6 million set aside to help with that project, and it's making actually good progress. I think we're feeling pretty positive about it. There's some final pieces to the restrooms around Saturday Market. $750,000 are set aside for that. I think it's self-explanatory what that does.
Can I ask you a couple questions about that, Keith? Because the budget lists $1.5 million for between 2010-2011 and 2011-2012. If I'm reading it under infrastructure, parks, Ankeny, Burnside, public improvements.
Right.
So why 350?
350? 750.
750.
Did I say? I'm sorry.
I
that was probably you, right? I probably said 750. I probably said 350. Yeah.
750.
I meant 750 now, for the next fiscal year.
So, Bruce, originally there was a design that was that contemplated restoring the historic restrooms there and backed up against the fire station.
That's correct.
Commissioner Leonard's taken the lead on expediting the placement of loos. Parks is working with him on terms of some locations. Are we at a point where we need to have a conversation about an option to that plan in order to get something on the ground?
Commissioner, I think we're getting very close to that point. What we've been trying to do is understand the monies that are left over. We're still dealing with some construction claims on the actual Ankeny Park, the Tomahawk Waterfront Park improvements. I think if you remember, we ran into a lot of unanticipated things that we moved forward, like we found the old Harbor Freeway when we dug down a little ways and a whole bunch of other things. So we're dealing with some of the aftermath of that. But it's my hope in the next couple months we'll actually understand the resources we need to settle those claims, which would then tell us exactly how much money we have left, because this is where we would have to take any of those construction claims from. And then I think we need to sit down and look at all of the options, which is either scaling back the proposal or looking at a combination of a scale back proposal and a number of loos.
We're very eager to move the loo project ahead. And I understand in this particular location, we do have the challenge of this being an historic district. And so there was some work. But, I mean, Commissioner Leonard is working with parks and other bureaus to find locations. We are trying to move this forward. It is a particular priority of this council. And this is one where I just keep feeling stymied, like I don't know what the moving pieces are and what our options are. So I would welcome a chance to sit down with my colleague and someone in PDC to figure out what are the moving pieces and how quickly could we get some money into some restroom facility. That particular area is hugely underserved. And it's a twofer. I mean, whatever restrooms are there are used both by Saturday Market people and visitors as well as by people who do not have homes. So I'd like to see if we could move that forward on a faster track.
Thank you, Commissioner. Based on his comments, I think that that'd be an excellent thing to do, because I would like to see those restrooms also be put in place as soon as possible.
Well, if I might add, though, there's been a lot of community input into that and a lot of community expectations regarding the historic district and the design of the Ankeny restrooms. So there's certainly many places downtown where we could add loos that are not in historic districts. So I just want to recommend that the community needs to be fully involved in those kinds of decisions. And a lot of work has been done so far. My understanding was that we were moving along and that we were about to get to actually installing those restrooms.
And one of the, if I may, just one of the reasons that I'm particularly interested in sitting down and discussing the details is it may very well be we don't have the same resources that were once contemplated. And if we have to scale back, and we don't have the resources to do the same historically sensitive renovation. At some point, I'd like to see some money go into a loo placed, if not there, under the Morrison Bridge or somewhere to meet the huge demand, and when we can at some point come back to the historically sensitive piece.
Well, it might be both.
Might be both. But I think we're going to have less money than we contemplated.
So that, again, gets back to the question of we've got this $1.5 million in the line item for the Ankeny bathrooms. What's your flexibility to then change it and do something different?
Well, again, this is, as you can see, is a very general line item. If we have agreement from all parties that we should move forward with Plan A or B or a combination of those, we have the resources and the budget authority to do that. But what you're seeing and what I'm hearing here is we need to have a dialogue with you. I think the two major players here, Parks and the people who understand how the loos are constructed, would be a great place to start. And then we come back to the commissioners one-on-one and talk about where we go. And if we need to have a further dialogue in public, we'd be glad to do that too. But I agree that we need to move forward.
I believe that it's a three-point dialogue. It's Parks, it's water, and its neighborhood involvement, because this is very significant to the neighborhood, and they've worked really hard on it, and I want to make sure that that is not lost. Okay.
Understood.
We need to get this project unclogged. That's your signal to move on.
Yeah, I didn't know what
you said. It was a bad pun.
Gateway is one of the districts that will definitely benefit from the community economic development roadmap that I discussed earlier. Right now, what we're looking at in Gateway is we've probably got $300,000 or so in help to small businesses. One of the projects that actually having dirt flung around right now is the 3-acre urban plaza neighborhood park. Right now we're basically an urban plaza where we are cleaning up some of the dirty dirt and assembling some community committees to then work with us on how we want to see that urban plaza redeveloped with obviously a number of different kinds of green features as well. And then there'd be probably an acre of that 4 acres that could be kind of a mixed-use project. So it would be more than just the urban plaza. We are also working with Commissioner Saltzman on finishing some touches on the receiving center and helping with the parking lot construction to help clients for the center.
Gateway Center for Domestic Violence
Services. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
We had it before council this week. So.
Apologize. And then in terms of some of the planning pieces, there is a discussion with Gateway that is getting some legs under it to look at extending the district eastward towards 122nd, which will intersect, not literally, but with the conversation of how do we bring urban renewal to East Portland, so kind of the broader initiative.
Has there been any thought, Keith, to expanding the boundaries south?
Yeah, I would think that we would probably want to look at an area that's obviously far too big, right? We're probably going to have about 800 acres that we could do, but we'd probably want to start around the Palhurst-Gilbert area and head north, through Gateway and then work with and figure out what that means and then work with the community to think strategically about where it makes the most sense. So Palhurst-Gilbert, Coley, aspects of Gateway.
Okay.
Right. So that makes sense?
And that definitely is a council discussion.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I would just think we'd want to at least put on the table what are the opportunities if we looked to the south. I'm trying to get my bearings here.
Yeah,
82nd coming towards Stark on 82nd.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of that 82nd to 122nd, even a little east of 122nd, stretching basically from Lentz north through Gateway toward areas like Coley and trying to step back and look at that whole swath and see what the needs of the community are and see what urban renewal can realistically achieve, for them at least, in the short term and in the long term. So it's the areas you're talking about are within the context of what we're thinking about.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. In the housing list, we've got support for multifamily for sale and support support for multifamily rental. I'm thinking to the Lentz urban renewal district, which we'll get to, where we're giving support for renters to buy single-family homes and also for fixing up single-family homes.
So we just that's now migrated over to the Portland Housing Bureau, mm-hmm. and we packaged a bunch of dough and did a NOFA, Notice of Funds Availability. We got some very creative responses in a number of urban renewal districts, particularly Lentz and Interstate. And we, in fact, have just made an award to a very innovative project in Lentz that is a partnership between NEA and I'm blanking on the other partner, but it's modular housing. It's an affordable housing complex using new technology that Stuart Emmons is working on around modular housing. And because in keeping with the new approach to how we're going to spend these dollars, Commissioner, what we chose to do a NOFA, which is to just stimulate creative proposals from the community, which we then reviewed and with a committee made up of diverse stakeholders that then helped us make some decisions, and we've just awarded $5 or $6 million, and that includes at least one, if not two, projects that are targeted to affordable housing needs in that community. We are also about to spend some money at the urging of both the mayor and the Northeast Economic Development team. For some home repair work in Northeast, but our most recent approach was to solicit ideas from the districts and then fund the best, and we're open to other ideas going forward.
So my question in Gateway is that we don't have any line items allocated for that kind of single family assistance, and will the Housing Bureau now be responsible for figuring out what of this total housing, what the mix is? Because
yes.
One of my concerns in Gateway is that they have lots of affordable housing. They also have some nice single-family homes that as the area develops and booms, as we hope it will, we want to make sure those homeowners can stay in place if it's not right on the main arterials. So you'll be, with your advisory committees, looking at the mixture of how the funding is allocated in Gateway?
Yes, and certainly we're open to it. Of course, the interesting trick, as you know, is that we generally try to meet citywide goals through our housing policies, because if we didn't, as you can imagine, each urban renewal district might want the money spent on one particular area or and not on another, and you can probably guess what scores higher than others. So trying to find that mixture of citywide goals around our housing policies and customizing needs, being responsive to the different mix of housing within communities and engaging stakeholders is the challenge. And it was a challenge for PDC to get that mix right. We have now inherited that challenge, and Bruce is now happy to turn it over to us. We are, one of the things that Director Van Vliet has indicated she wants to do is form separate committees within urban renewal districts of stakeholders who will advise her on the housing decisions. And in the past, you know, you had these advisory groups, but they were asked to opine on a whole variety of things. We're going to try to have a specialized group that helps us on allocating the housing dollars.
I think that's excellent. Thank you. And I think the concern I have ongoing is that in order to support a vibrant business district, we have to have people living in Gateway who can afford to patronize those businesses. So, yes, we do need to look at the housing mix and the housing needs citywide. We also need to make sure that we preserve some single-family housing in the Gateway Urban Renewal District and indeed provide support for people being able to stay in place.
We welcome that conversation with you.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to Interstate. So you'll notice Interstate's got almost $23 million to invest in projects, which contrasts to Gateway's 5.2. And just as an educational moment, this is Interstate's almost 3,000 acres. I think it might be actually most closer to like 3,400 acres, where Gateway is 700. So it just shows you scalability, how much money you can generate in a neighborhood district, particularly when there's redevelopment happening. But even without it, just the massive acres leads to a lot more money. again, Executive Director Warner talked about how with Interstate, it's headed toward the path of expansion into areas like St. John's, into areas such as on MLK that were formerly an Oregon Convention Center, and different nodes. That's going to be one of the things that's going to be happening early next year. In terms of resources, there's about $2.6 million that's going to assist small business.